the Chasen Sanborn coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, presents the Chasen Sanborn Hour. And your host, John Amici.
It's always a great pleasure for me to start another Chasen Sanborn Hour rolling on its way. Of course, it's swell to bring you the greetings of all of us. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Yippee, yippee. What a day, what a day.
Say, you sound especially happy, Charlie. You celebrating something?
Yes, sir, Mr. Amici. Bergen gave me a raise. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's wonderful news, Charlie.
Yeah. Lollipops are on McCarthy.
Oh, that's swell, Charlie. Let me tell the good news to Dorothy Lamour.
Huh? Well, I'm going to buy Dottie Orchids. I'm no piker.
Well, that's swell. What are you going to buy Claude and Clarence Strauss?
I'm going to buy them an automobile.
Well, just one automobile for the two of them?
Yeah, a twin six.
You're really on a spending spree, aren't you, Charlie? Look, have you decided on anything for John Carter?
Yeah, I'm going to get him a piano. And for Bob Armbruster, I'm getting one of those gold sticks, you know, he shakes at the orchestra and they never look at it, you know?
You've been bet on, huh, Charlie?
Yeah, that's it. One of the solid gold, too. 14 carats.
Boy, oh, boy. Edgar must have been very generous, Charlie. How much of a raise did you get?
Well, I got... now, don't kick it around, you know. Keep it under your hat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
25 cents a week, cash.
Yippee!
Boy, that definitely puts you in the upper brackets, Charlie. But look, before you spend it all, you ought to do a little thinking about what you're going to buy our lovely guest tonight, Rosalind Russell.
Oh, yes. Oh, say, Mr. Nietzsche.
Yeah, what is it, Charlie?
Can you spare a dime?
Yeah, I think I can.
Yeah, I want to buy her something big, you know, a yacht or something, you know?
Fine, Charlie. And don't forget to bring me the change, will you?
Mm.
And while you're still reveling in your good fortune, let me express the hope that everybody will enjoy our show and will continue, as always, to be our friends, as well as friends of Chasen Sanborn.
Ah, Mr. Amici, money is a melody, and life is just a song. Sing, Don, sing.
Sweet someone, I can't resist you. Sweet someone, oh, how I've missed you. Where have you been all these nights, all these days? Where was that smile that is driving me crazy? Sweet someone, I'm glad I found you. I'm building my world around you. For heaven sent you and meant you to be a sweet, adorable someone for no one but me. Charlie, I don't want to spoil your fun, but you got to be careful now. You're a big businessman. You ought to hire somebody to assist you.
Yeah. Oh, why should I change assistants now? Bergen's all right. Hi, Bergen.
What is it, Charlie?
Bergen, you're a pal, Bergen.
Am I?
Yeah. I always liked you, Burger. You know that?
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine so.
Yeah. But this week I like you more. More than ever before.
Yeah?
I like you 25 cents more than I ever did.
Well, I'm glad you're happy, Charlie.
I thought you would be, yes.
Yes. And I want you to know that I'm giving you this increase in allowance to test your integrity, perspicacity, and knowledge of monetary matters.
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
Aren't you expecting quite a bit of 2 bits?
Well, have you made any plans for using that extra money?
Yes, I have. I'm big business, you know. What I need now is organization. Manpower, that's the thing.
Oh, I see. Manpower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or better still, a cute secretary. That's it. The first thing tomorrow. I'll run an ad for a secretary.
Did you advertise for a secretary?
Yeah, some services. Did you read my ad in tomorrow's paper already?
No, I just heard you talking about it.
Oh, snooping, eh? Are you a secretary?
Yeah, I'm a secretary.
Secretary?
Secretary.
Can you type? That'll put a stomp to it, or...
Yeah, when do I start?
Yeah. Bergen, do I have to hire her?
Well, first you ask her a few questions.
Oh, yes, yeah. First there are a few questions.
What's the answer?
Yeah.
Bergen, what are the questions? Well, let me help you, Charlie.
Okay, good.
Young lady, what is your name?
Well, Mummy calls me Daisy, but Daddy calls me Dizzy.
Well, you can't fool Dad.
Well, Miss, what we want to know is, what is your last name?
Oh, La Smith.
Oh, I see.
Dizzy Daisy La Smith. What experience have you had?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You take it, Bergen. All right. Yeah. Miss La Smith, you'll have to be a little more explicit.
Why?
Yeah. Well, I can't hire you if I don't know anything about your character.
Well, I'm taking the same chances with you, ain't I?
Yeah.
I think she's got something there.
Charlie, quiet.
Yeah.
How old are you, Miss La Smith?
I was born in 1920 in Schenectady. Yeah.
How old does that make you out here?
We had a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
I lived on a farm and my mama used to raise pigs.
Yeah. How old are you? Mama raised pigs. Well, that's near enough. You ask her the question in the next one, Bergen. I think I'll sit this one out.
Very well. Miss La Smith, can you type?
I can run a switchboard.
I'm sorry, but we haven't got a switchboard.
But I can run one.
Bergen, we'll either have to get a switchboard or get rid of her. And in my opinion...
All right, Charlie, don't be rude.
No, but I could be if I was forced to.
Miss La Smith, can you run an adding machine?
An adding machine? Have they got them now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they come with wire wheels and a spare tire. Mm-hmm. She's the dumbest.
All right, all right. Hold me back. Yes, hold me. Charlie, you're not making this interview confusing or helping it any.
No, no, she's not helping it any either.
No. Let's continue the interview. Suppose you ask Miss Lisbeth if she ever ran a comptometer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Daisy, have you ever had any accidents running? No, experience running a comptometer? Comptometer?
You mean a barometer?
No, a prochronometer. A thermometer.
No, Charlie means a comptometer. Can you run it?
A crumb chump.
Run it, she can't even say it. Do you think you can take care of my mail, Dizzy? I don't, but do you?
Well, what kind of mail have you got?
Well, we have a nice assortment. We have ingoing mail and outgoing mail and postcards.
That's good.
Yeah. What's with her?
Perhaps you're asking the wrong questions.
Well, there's one thing I'm sure of. I'm getting the wrong answers.
I think the fairest way to judge your ability is to put it into actual practice.
Yeah.
Now, why not dictate a letter to Miss La Smith?
That's a good idea. I will. Take a letter, Daisy. Mr. Skinny Dugan, Esquire.
No, Charlie. If you write Mr., you don't have to write Esquire. And if you write Esquire, you don't have to write Mr.
Well, for that matter, I don't even have to write Skinny. No. I'm seeing him tonight.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead with the letter.
Very good, sir. Skinny Dugan, Esquire. No, mister. Care of Dugan's lunch wagon, 5th and Pine. Have you got that down?
I haven't even got a pencil.
Yeah. If you have one, could you use it? Oh.
Now, let's be patient. Let's try again. Here's a pencil, Miss La Smith.
Thanks. And please don't dictate too fast. I'm pretty slow.
Dopey is the word.
Charlie.
All right, I'll take it easy. Dear Skinny, I...
Too fast.
Maybe I should do it backwards. Skinny dear, where are you now?
I'm still here.
Yeah, well, not all here. Will you tell her, Bergen, or shall I throw her out?
All right, I'll take care of her. Miss Lesmith, I regret to inform you that after much consideration, we have decided to dispense with your services.
Oh, swell. How much do I get to start with?
Well, what do you expect and what leads you to believe you can get anywhere near it?
Well, I'd be awfully pleased with 25.
Yeah, you'd be pleased with 25. You should be hysterical. I wouldn't give you 5.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Bergen, that does it. That does it. Take her away. That's the last straw.
P.S. Dizzy, Daisy, Dorothy, LaSmith, Lamour didn't get the job. John Carter sings the well-known concert song, Beat Moon.
Oh, meine Seele, du mein Herz, du meine Wohnung, du mein Schmerz, du meine Welt, in der ich lebe, mein Himmel, du allein ich schwebe, oh, du mein Grab, in das hinab ich lebe, ich meinem Kummer gab. Du bist die Ruhe, du bist der Frieden, du bist von Himmel mir beschieden, dass du mich liebst. Mach mich mir wehr, dein Blick hat mich vor mir verklärt. Du hebst mich liebend über mich, mein guter Geist, mein besseres Ich. Du meine Welt, du mein Herz, du meine Wohnung, du mein Schmerz, du meine Welt, in der ich lebe, mein Himmel, du, da rein ich schwebe, mein guter Geist, mein besseres
Ich. Johnny, that was really thrilling. John Carter turns to a simple song now, so familiar that it's practically a part of every American home. John Carter sings Smiling Through.
There's a little brown road winding over the hill to a little white house by the sea. There's a little green gate that will swirl sideways. To eyes of a blue come smiling through at me. There's a great lock of the brown of the hair. There's some silver in mine too, I see. But in all the long years, when the clouds brought their tears, two eyes of of a blue. Kept smiling up at all. At me.
Johnny, that's what I call good singing. If you haven't yet sent for your big free likeness of Charlie McCarthy, this news is for you.
Last warning. To get your free likeness of Charlie McCarthy, you must act at once. Tomorrow at midnight, just a little over 24 hours from now, our special offer closes. So don't lose out on this handsome gift. Remember, Charlie's made of strong cardboard, printed in brilliant colors to show his red hair, brown eyes, top hat, and full dress suit. Charlie's knees bend, his eyes roll, his mouth moves. And he's big, over 20 inches tall. And he's yours free if you act now. Before midnight tomorrow, mail us four bag fronts, showing the date, from 4 1-pound bags of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. Dated coffee, you know, is guaranteed fresh by our unique dating and rapid delivery system. It's rushed to your grocer freshly roasted with a delivery date plainly marked on the money-saving dated bag. And this date assures you against the harsh, rancid taste of stale coffee and the dangerous effect it may have on your system. So enjoy this delicious blend you know is fresh. Coffee that's a marvelous value at any time. Mail us four bag fronts by midnight tomorrow and get your big action likeness of Charlie McCarthy free. Remember, the absolute deadline is midnight tomorrow, February 28th. Your letter must be postmarked by that time. Now here's our address. Chasen Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, that's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Don't miss this last chance. Get Charlie free. Buy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
For the comparatively short time she has been a star of movies, Rosalind Russell has a long list of fine performances to her credit. Among others, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer pictures Night Must Fall, Rendezvous, and Live, Love, and Learn. She is now at work on Four's a Crowd for Warner Brothers. Before she came to Hollywood, Rosalind Russell trooped the country in various stock companies and played on Broadway. When in those stock days, one of her most popular plays was Holiday by Philip Berry.
Rosalind Russell as Linda, Don Amici as Johnny, Nettie Harrigan as Julia, and Crawford Kent as Edward Seaton in Philip Berry's play, Holiday.
Who is it? My sister. Put her on the phone. Julia, I thought you were in Lake Placid.
I am. And oh, Linda, I've met the most marvelous man. He hasn't got a cent, and I'm going to marry him.
Well, wait till Father hears about that. You'd better come home right away before somebody else tells him about this.
Father today, Linda.
How did he take it?
He said Johnny was marrying me for my money, of course. But I don't think he'll object too much.
Ah, Linda, you do like him, don't you?
Oh, she asked me if I like him. My dear girl, do you realize that life walked into this house when Johnny came? Marry him quick. Don't let him get away.
Will you call up my broker and ask him to sell those 30,000 shares I bought yesterday? Oh, and by the way, reserve the bridal suite of the next sailing of the Queen Mary. I'm giving my daughter Julia a honeymoon.
Julia and Mr. Seaton, I wish you could understand me. I can't take this job with Pritchard Ames. You see, my whole life's dream has at last come true. It's always been my plan to make a few thousands early in the game and then quit for as long as they last and try to find out who I am and what I am and what goes on and what about it now while I'm young and feel good all the time.
In all my experience, I've never
had such a... I want these years now, sir.
Father, please.
In fact, if I'd not already sent the wedding announcements to the newspapers, asked a number of our friends here tonight...
Father, please go down. We'll come in a minute.
Darling, he didn't get what I'm driving at all. My plan is...
Johnny, why did you do it? You knew how all that talk would antagonize him.
Well, you think talk is all it was?
I think it was less than that. I'm furious with you.
But it wasn't just talk, Julia.
Well, if you think you can persuade me that a man of your energy and your ability could possibly quit a city for any length of time, you're mistaken.
Well, I'd like a try at it.
It's ridiculous.
Now, wait a minute, dear. We better get clear on this.
I'm clear on it now. Goodbye.
Oh, Julia. Julia, come back.
Johnny, don't you ever answer the phone. I've been trying to get you for 2 weeks.
Oh, I put up the plaster.
Come back to us, Johnny, won't you?
Oh, why should I come back? I've been put in a position
that... Julia loves Julia, Johnny.
Yes, Linda, I do.
Isn't that all that matters? We can get her to see it. I know we can get her to see it your way, Johnny. I'm sure we can. Come around and see her at least, won't you?
All right, Linda. For your sake, I'll try it once more.
Linda, here I am.
Hello, Johnny.
Is your sister in?
I'll send for her.
Oh, Linda, I love Julia so.
Of course you do, Johnny.
It makes anything else, you know, all my plans for finding out what I want in life, all my ideas for seeing the world and how it works, anything seems
seems so unimportant, of course.
Yeah, but I know they are important. I know that.
Still?
Yeah, that's it. Still.
I think it'll come out all right, Johnny.
Well, maybe in the long run. You know, I've decided to give up my idea of a holiday.
I see.
But only for a while. Only a couple of years, say. Just until I can get through to her that... Well, it's what she asked, and after all, a couple of years isn't a lifetime.
No, of course not.
I can see the way they look at it. I hardly expect them suddenly to do a complete about-face and... But hang it, they ought to at least see what I'm getting at.
Perhaps eventually they will.
Ah, that's what I'm counting on.
The fun's gone out of you, Johnny.
Oh, it'll be back.
Sure, it'll be back.
Linda, you agree that there's only the one thing for me to do now.
Compromise?
Yes. But you think that's right, don't you?
I don't think it matters a bit what I think.
Oh, it does, though. You think it's right, don't you? Say you think it's right.
Shall I phone upstairs for Julia?
No, say it first.
Johnny, when two people love each other as much as you, anything that keeps them apart must be wrong. Will that do? Shall I phone for her now?
Yeah, go ahead.
With luck, we'll manage not to include Father this time.
Well, I certainly hope so. He's asleep, probably.
Of course not. Oh, Julia? Yes, would you come down a minute? No, but there's no telegram to send up. Julia, it's terribly important that you come down here at once. She'll be right down.
If she doesn't fall asleep again.
Oh, Johnny, don't talk like that. I can't bear to hear your voice do that.
You know, you care more what happens to me than she does.
What? Oh, don't be silly. Maybe I feel things about you that she doesn't because, maybe just because I'm not in love with you.
You know what I think about you, don't you?
I'd be glad to hear.
I like you better than anyone else in the world.
Well, that's very nice, Johnny. Because I like you a good deal, too.
Well, well, this is a surprise. Good evening.
Oh, Father, for the love of Pete.
Good evening, sir.
Johnny, they tell me you've been away. It's very pleasant having you back.
Father, Johnny came tonight to see Julia.
That doesn't surprise me a great deal, daughter. Not a great deal.
Julia, not you and me. Come on, come on. Let's go bye-bye.
Linda, what's the idea of a... Oh. Johnny.
Julia, get a wrap, will you? We're going out.
Please close that door. I wish to speak to both of you. Coming between you young people in love is the furthest from my wish and intention. Love, true love, is a very rare and beautiful thing.
I beg pardon, sir.
Yeah?
If Pritchard Ames and company still want me, I'll go with them when we get back from our wedding trip. Say about March 1st.
Oh, Johnny.
I'm still not convinced. I still don't believe in it, but it's what Julia wishes, and I'm glad to defer to her wish.
And now, in heaven's name, may they be left alone, or shall we all move over to Madison Square Garden?
When is it you wish to be married?
As soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, the invitations will be out for, 10 days at least. We'll make it 2 weeks from Wednesday. No doubt there will be a sailing later that week. Now, let me suggest a little itinerary. You'll land at Plymouth or Southampton and proceed straight to London. I'll cable my sister tomorrow. She and her husband will be delighted to have you stay with them.
Please, Father, let them plan their own honeymoon.
He's Sir Horace Porter, one of the most important men in British banking circles.
Well, I'd thought of this as more of a lark than a business trip, sir.
There's no harm in combining a little business with pleasure, is there? I've never found there was.
Aunt Helen has a lovely home, Johnny.
Now, a week in London, a week in Paris.
An hour in the Louvre.
10 days in Cannes. Ideal. And you might sail from Genoa and return by the southern route. Julia? I'll arrange to have your house ready for you to go into March 1st.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Well, what house is that, Julia?
Father's lending us the sweetest little house on 64th Street.
Would you call a 64th Street house little?
Oh, Johnny, wait till you see it.
Just a cottage. 15 master bedrooms and only one ballroom.
Julia, I'm sorry, but I can't stand it.
Would you mind telling me what you mean?
If we begin loaded down with possessions and obligations, responsibilities, how would we ever get out from under them? We never would.
Good boy.
You're extremely generous and kind, but it's not for me.
Well, what is for you?
I want to be a man whose time, for a while at least, is his own. That's what I've been plugging for ever since I was 10. Even if it turns out to be just one of those fool ideas that people dream about and then go flat on. Even if I find I've had enough in 3 months, still I want it.
I see. Julia, if you marry this young man now, I doubt if he will ever again earn one penny.
Julia, I promise you I'll always earn my own living. Oh, my dear, we've got to make our own life. Let's forget wedding invitations and 2 weeks from Wednesday in British banking circles. I've got a suite on the Normandy sailing tonight at midnight. Let's go now. Let's be married tonight.
And if I say no, not unless you agree.
Then I'm going tonight by myself.
Very well. You can go. Because I don't quite see myself with an idler for a husband.
I suppose the fact is I love feeling free inside even better than I love you, Julia.
Apparently. Or what you call feeling free.
All right, Julia. Goodbye, Mr. Seaton. I'm sorry we couldn't make a go of it. Thanks for trying anyhow. Goodbye to you, Linda. You've been sweet.
Goodbye, Johnny. So have you. I hope you find what you're looking for.
Thanks, Linda.
You did want someone along with you on the big search, didn't you?
I did, you know.
Poor boy.
But we won't mind, will we?
No, we won't mind.
We'll get there.
Sure, we'll get there.
Linda. May I kiss you?
Oh, please do.
Bye, Linda.
Never mind, dear. If he loves you, he'll be back.
Be back? Be back, did you say? You talk as if I wanted him back.
I hope, Julia, that this experience, hard as it may have been, will teach you that...
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm all right. Even a little more than all right, I should say. Linda. Linda, let go of me. What's the matter with you anyway?
You don't love him.
Will you kindly let go of my arm?
You don't love him.
Will you please?
Answer me, do you or do you not?
And what's that to you, may I ask?
Now, children.
What's it to me? What's it to me? Answer me.
Father, what's the matter with him?
You don't. You don't, do you? I can see you don't. It's written all over you. You're relieved. He's gone. Relieved.
And suppose I am.
She asked me, suppose he is. Are you? Say it.
I'm so relieved I could sing with it. Is that what you want?
Yes. Oh, have I got a job now. Where's my hat? Where's my coat?
Linda, where are you off to?
On a trip, on a big ride. Oh, boy, what a ride, do you mind?
What are you talking about?
You've got no faith in Johnny, have you, Julie? His little dream may fall flat, you think, yes. So it may. What about it? What if it should? There'll be another. The point is, he does dream. Oh, I've got all the faith in the world in Johnny. Whatever he wants to do is all right with me. If he wants to come back and sell peanuts, I'll believe in those peanuts. Goodbye, Julia. Goodbye, Father.
Linda, where are you going?
Here, 37, the SS Normandy. And don't let anybody try to stop me.
Linda may have gone to get Johnny, but Rosalind Russell is staying to meet Charlie. And it looks like a battle of wits. The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Rosalind Russell, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, John Carter, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Armbruster and his orchestra will continue in just a moment. This is Don Amici and the Chase and Sanborn Hour. Dorothy L'Amour sings the title song of Romance in the Dark, the new Paramount picture starring our friend Gladys Swarthout. Dorothy?
Romance in the dark with you. All at once I knew, darling, love was near. I thrilled to my fingertips. I could feel your lips, darling, all so near. The music was so entrancing. The lights all began to fade. I said to myself, dancing, but only my heart obeyed. A flame grew from just a spark when I found romance in the dark with you. I'm just a spark. When I find romance in the dark.
Dorothy, that was grand.
Thanks, Don.
As far as I'm concerned, you could sing 10 songs, 20 songs. If you'll pardon my poor pun, l'amour, la merrier.
Thanks again, Don. If you'll pardon mine, please, Tamichi.
Say, isn't that clever, Claude?
I knew a man who kissed a horse.
Yeah. Well, as the old saying goes, one is company and two's a stroud.
This punning sure is a lot of fun, isn't it, Claude?
Yeah, I knew a man who kissed a horse.
Oh, now, Claude, stop nagging. He's so unstable. Would you care to join us in some punning, Clarence?
No, thanks, Don. I quite agree with Claude. I must be wrong. Some may find punning a pleasant pastime, but personally, I decry the practice.
Well, for decrying out loud.
Fairly amusing, Don, but possibly you are not aware of the fact that the great wit, Mark Twain, considered a pun the lowest form of humor.
Oh, it isn't often I get a chance to correct you, Clarence, but I've read that Mark Twain pulled many an atrocious pun himself. And after all, what's good enough for Mark Twain should be good enough for the Stroud Twains.
Yeah, Claude and Clarence. And never the twain shall meet.
Think I'll catch the 9:30 twain myself.
Claude, you proved completely your superficial knowledge of what constitutes humor. As time goes on, I can't deny that I am displeased. I'm disheartened.
I'm happy about the whole thing.
Say, Clarence, I always had you pegged as more of a scientific and serious type. What do you know about humor?
A great deal. In fact, I have spent many hours in the contemplation of the various aspects of humor, and I would be delighted to disclose my findings to you. I'm certainly glad you asked me, Don.
I'm certainly sorry.
Me too.
I feel that you will have no occasion for regret.
I hope you won't do it again, Don.
I apologize, Claude.
If I may have your attention, I may...
I could kick myself for this.
I'll do it for you.
Thanks, Claude.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure.
More fun for me.
I still maintain that comic pleasures derive from innumerable sources, and thus a joke may create varying degrees of laughter. To begin at the beginning...
Why not start at the end?
Why not end at the start?
I shall not start at the end, nor shall I end at the start. I shall begin at the beginning. The word humor stems from such words as humid or humidity.
Oh, you see what he means, Claude? It's not the joke, it's the humidity.
Not the humidity, it's Clarence.
You may have your idle jest at my expense, but let me remind you that Aristophanes...
What is Hufanes?
Aristophanes, the famous Greek playwright, declared that ironic humor is akin to tragedy. In simple language, extroversial reactions apply pertinently and positively to the psychology of introversial humor.
Oh, that's marvelous. Claude, did you get it?
I don't want it.
Well, now, wait a minute, Claude. I'm interested in what Clarence has to say. He knows Aristophanes. You don't know him, do you?
I know a man who kissed a horse.
If I may continue, authorities propound the principle that humor is the assertion of the ego of its invulnerability.
Who said that?
Aristophanes, the Greek.
You bore me.
Who said that?
Claudius the Stroud.
You see, Don, Claude does not appreciate the importance of true humor. When a man smiles wholeheartedly, you say, there goes a happy mortal. But when you come face to face with a man with a sour, gloomy expression, his lips curved in a downward arc, what do you say?
I'll pay you tomorrow.
I'm merely generalizing. I wasn't thinking of any particular man.
I was thinking of my tailor.
Well, regardless of the man, you would say that he lacked a sense of humor.
I agree with you, Clarence. You're right. A man should smile. Now, how about you giving us a sample of humor?
Well, I have made no claims to being a humorist myself, but I can cite an example that will clarify the entire situation. I remember an occasion when I was visiting a psychopathic ward.
How did you get out?
You misunderstand, Don. I was there not for observation. I was merely visiting.
Well, didn't they even examine you?
No, they didn't.
Somebody ought to examine them.
To ignore these silly sallies, while visiting there, I saw one of the patients pushing a wheelbarrow turned upside down. I said, why don't you turn that thing over? He said, you think I'm nuts, so put bricks in it.
That was swell. I'm certainly glad you brought back that information.
Did you bring back your wheelbarrow?
I did not. It was too heavy. Analytically speaking, you laughed at my little witticism because I suddenly departed on a new mental train of thought. I might put it this way. By switching the anticipated answer from one track, I sidetracked you, the passengers, to another track.
What happened to my baggage?
You distract me, Claude, but you do not swerve me from my purpose. As another illustration of my point, take the statement, they all laughed when I sat down at the piano. Why?
Did you miss the bench?
Please, Claude, the piano is hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Oh, gotta have a tune.
This is very discouraging, but I shall make a last attempt to analyze humor. Few people realize that what may be funny to one person is tragic to the next.
Well, you're funny to me, Clarence.
You're tragic to me.
Well, that's just it. Through my unhappiness, others may derive pleasure.
I knew a man who kissed a horse once.
Claude, please, what I am driving at is that I might provoke laughter by various means. By falling down a flight of stairs, by having a chair pulled out from under me, by being hit in the face with a custard pie.
Did we get our choice?
Now, just a minute, Claude. After all, I don't want Clarence to get me wrong. Clarence, I admire your determination. What's more, if you want to continue this little talk, I'd love to have you come over to my house tonight for dinner.
Well, thanks, Don. I'm really touched that you take an interest in me. You see, Claude, Don does appreciate me. He understands me.
No wonder. He's the man who kissed the horse.
Well, we can always depend on Clarence to give us a serious side of anything, even humor. John Carter sings another one of the world's greatest arias, Cielo e Mar, Sky and Sea, from the opera La Gioconda.
Viva!
bacia, Lola, Lola bacia, Lorimore. Qui nell'ombra of io mi giaccio,
day to friends of Charlie McCarthy, and here's why.
Tomorrow is your very last chance to get your big, amusing action likeness of Charlie McCarthy free. Yes, at midnight Monday, this amazing gift offer definitely closes. That gives you only a little over 24 hours to get this wonderful present. Charlie sits right on your knee. You can move his mouth and eyes. He's made of heavy cardboard over 20 inches high, printed in bright colors that picture his rosy cheeks, his monocle, and a yellow daisy in his hand. Everybody loves him. And for one day more, you can get Charlie without cost. Before midnight tomorrow, mail us four bag fronts showing the date from 4 1-pound bags of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, the superb blend that's rushed fresh from roasting to your grocer with a delivery date plainly marked on the money-saving dated bag. This date guarantees the freshness of dated coffee, safeguards you from the bitter, rancid-tasting stale coffee and the harmful effects it may have on your nerves and digestion. Yes, Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is always a splendid value. And if you'll mail us four bag fronts before midnight tomorrow, you'll get as a gift a big, amusing action likeness of Charlie McCarthy. But please remember, your letter must be postmarked by midnight tomorrow, February 28th, or it cannot be accepted. So hurry. Take down our address. Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Now, don't miss this final chance. Get Charlie free by Chase and Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
Oh, Don?
Yes, Rosalind.
Is that really Charlie McCarthy sitting on Edgar Bergen's lap there?
Yes, it is.
Isn't he cute?
Yeah, Charlie certainly is cute.
Oh, no, I mean Edgar.
Bergen cute? Oh, I must tell this to Edgar. Hey, Ed.
Yes, Don.
You know Rosalind Russell, don't you?
Oh, yes. How are you, Miss Russell?
Yeah, I'm Charlie McCarthy. Hiya, Roz.
Oh, Charlie McCarthy. I've been looking forward to meeting you. I've heard so many things about you.
Yes, and of course, they're all true, my pet. They're all true.
Some of the things they say are terrible.
They're all true. Oh, they do, huh? Well, you can't believe what people say. Idle gossip, fiddle prattle, not a thing in it.
All right. Rosalind, you say you've heard things about Charlie's conduct?
Yes, indeedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. The man gave it to me. I was framed. I got an alibi.
All right, all right.
Yes, I have.
No.
Yes, I have.
What are you talking about? Nobody's accused you of stealing anything. Oh, doesn't she know about it? No.
I didn't know.
Well, you know, Edgar, only the other evening I was talking about Charlie to a friend of mine, and she said that... Oh, well, maybe I'd better whisper it to you, Edgar.
Yes, please do.
Well, she said that... And she also said, Edgar, when you hear this,
yeah.
That's the feeling.
I bet you're talking about me. My ears are smoking.
Is that so, really?
Yeah, well, I heard something about Miss Russell, too. Oh, boy.
Oh, did you really, Charlie? What was it?
Wouldn't you like to know? Ho, 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 ho. Oh, boy, if I start talking...
Oh, boy. Go on. Say it, Charlie, so we can all hear it.
Go ahead, Charlie.
What was it?
Oh, it was something, just something.
Oh, Charlie, you're embarrassing me. Now, what did you hear about me?
I won't say, that's all. I just won't say. Even if I had heard something, which I didn't, I wouldn't say anything about it. Because it isn't nice to whisper.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Anyway, I've always said, and I still say it, if you can't say nice things about people, do the best you can. That's all I've always said. You can talk about...
All right, that will do.
Well, I'm through. All right.
Charlie, I think that explanation was very manly of you. And really, I admire you for it.
Oh, you do? Then you don't hate me, do you?
Charlie, I have a confession to make. I've heard so many charming things about you, I made up my mind not to like you. But there's no use denying it. I can't resist you.
Oh, you can't fight those things, dearie. She loves me. I know what you're going through, my friend.
Oh, you're wonderful, Charlie. You have charm, personality, savoir-faire, your perfection.
Oh, sure.
And yet you must have some faults.
I can't think of a thing.
You're the ideal type, Charlie, except perhaps for one thing.
One thing? Oh, well, there might be one, yeah.
I like everything but your red hair. I never cared much for men with red hair.
Yeah. Oh, you don't, huh?
No.
Well, I can wear a coupe.
Coupe.
All right, you backseat driver. All right.
I found another thing wrong, Charlie. Why do you wear that monocle?
Well, you see, my right eye is just a wee bit weak, you know.
Oh, I see. Yes. Has it always been weak?
Yes, it has. Ever since a fist flew in it.
Oh, but Charlie, a monocle is such an affectation.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And it's dignified, too.
Well, why don't you be very dignified and wear one in each eye?
Oh, what, make a spectacle out of myself? Miss Russell, if there's one thing I pride myself on, it's my dress. I'm absolutely impeccable, I might say. I think I will. I like it. You know.
Well, now that you bring that up, why aren't you wearing patent leather shoes there with your full dress suit?
You mean Susie's?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are patent leather. What do you mean?
Well, if they are, the patent expired.
Yeah, there's... Oh, Russell, you will have your quips, won't you?
Really, Charlie... You may consider yourself a Beau Brummel, but to me you look more like, more like a butler.
Oh? Uh-huh.
Can you buttle?
I'll split one with you.
Charlie, I really didn't like that.
Well, it was the best Bergen could do. And now that I think of it, is there anything you do like about me?
Now that I think of it, I can't think of it.
Oh, yeah? Well, ask me what I think of you. Go ahead. I dare you.
No, Charlie, no. Boy. Don't bother. No.
Oh, boy. Just ask me. Go ahead. Well, it's no bother, Miss Russell. Of all the people I've ever met, and believe me, I've met some funny people. Charlie, that will do. I didn't think I'd get away with it.
Stop acting like a spoiled child.
Edgar, right. I applaud your good judgment. I have always said, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Charlie, I want you to say something nice to Miss Russell.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yes, well, don't push me. I'll force myself. Miss Russell, your hair is like the golden sun setting over the corn crib.
Oh, how sweet, Charlie. That's so much better.
I thought you'd like it.
I love it. Go on.
Your teeth, my dear. Your teeth are like the pearls from the oyster.
Oh, that lovely sentiment. Tell me more. Go on.
It's a bit drippy, don't you think?
Oh, no, I love it.
Hope you like it, all right. And your lips, my dear.
Yes,
your lips. Your lips are like the petals of a tropical bicycle.
Charlie, dear, that's no compliment.
Who said it was?
Charlie.
Well,
Gee whiz, I had to get even. I couldn't let her get away with all that.
All right.
Oh, Charlie, dear, didn't you know that when I said those things I was only teasing? I'm sorry you misunderstood.
Oh, it's all very well for you to jest, but you've cut me to the quick.
Oh, please forgive me. I am sorry, Charlie.
You've wounded me. Outwardly, I may smile, ha-ha, I fancy. But inwardly, there is a heart that is broken.
A heart that is broken? Oh, I can't believe it. Is that really true, Charlie?
Yes. What do you want, an X-ray? Or...
Once in a while, we all meet to sing our little songs to you.
How we look forward to saying hello.
Once in a while, when we're with you, our spirits go riding high.
Minutes just seem to fly,
then we must go. For our Sunday is fun day.
Hope it never ends.
For us, Sunday's the one day
when we meet
all our friends. We wear a smile, 'cause you tell us our friendship has so increased.
We're sure to meet at least
once in a while.
Us around to the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. Next week, our special guest will be Adolph Manjou and his charming wife, Vera Teasdale. Of course, the rest of us will all be here too. Edgar Bergen and the red-headed Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Claude and Clarence Stroud, John Carter, Robert Armbruster and his orchestra. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. Rosalind Russell appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures. And next week, another big Chase and Sanborn hour with Don Amici, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, the Stroud twins, Dorothy L'Amour, John Carter, and as special guests, Adolph Manjou and Viri Teasdale. Sweet Someone is from Love and Hisses. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.